For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't adjust your sets. I got something new for you guys. It's your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash. You guys are used to hearing me do the Chair Shot NFL. You know, normally I'd be trying to get off that show. But oddly enough, there's a lot of sports going on right now. So I had to do an NBA show. And fortunately, I had to dig deep in the bag and pull out a newbie to this podcasting game, a newbie to the Chair Shot roster, but not a newbie in my life. This is my day one-ish ace from literally birth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to my big brother by 3 days. You can call him Uncle Groot. I call him Trey. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, man? Hello, America. I'm here.
My boy, Thicky Bernie Mac. Hey, just for the record, just before the show, before we started recording, as soon as we got on the call, my boy thought he was talking to the world. Just want y'all to know, this is new for my boy. But we're going to make it. We're going to get there. Just a little, y'all know me, just a little info about this young man. This young man, if he actually, oh, it's old man, you're right, because you're old. Probably could have made the league if he really, really would have put his all into it. A little undersized, but like if you watch the league now, what these boys are doing, my boy could do. So he is not just some dude sitting watching the games, you know, just talking all this good shit. Like he comes with a certain level of knowledge. But hey, I don't want to explain who you are. You want to tell the good people a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. First and foremost, there's not too much to know about me. I'm just a goat. That's it.
Oh God, we gonna start there?
Yeah. We just, you know, aim high. So if you fall, you can still land on the clouds.
Oh boy.
You know, other than that, man, I'm not an expert. I just like a little basketball enough to know something. That's about it.
Well, let's do a real quick introduce me kind of thing. So for those of you who don't know, let's kind of do our like favorite teams, favorite players, stuff like that. So people get a baseline of who we are. Most people know, especially since I record my boy Tony all the time, old Milwaukee ass bitch. I am a Phoenix Suns fan. Mr. Groot, who do you rock with?
Cannot settle on one team.
Currently. You heard that, right?
You are a lifelong a lifelong Phoenix Suns fan.
Yes, sir.
You're not just a today Phoenix Suns fan. The game has changed so much that I don't necessarily have a team. Now, I do like anything in Texas.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's looking good right now for the Spurs. This is good. The Mavericks are who they are. They look awesome on paper. Hard to watch with the eye. And the Rockets actually have a lot of
potential.
But I can't watch yet with Dylan Brooks. I'm not a Dylan Brooks fan yet. And I don't see nothing positive about having Dylan Brooks on the team. So I'm not necessarily paying attention yet.
Dylan Brooks is the quintessential, I hate this motherfucker if I play against him, but if you play with me, I guess I got to rock with him kind of dude. Like, he's that guy.
I wouldn't even give him that. Those kind of people, you know, we rank them, you know, we got to run our tests, hate them, but, you know, I can play with them here and there. It's a few people who have that asterisk next to their names, but Dylan Brooks hasn't proved anything for me to be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. And to be fair, Ron Artest is genuinely, and like I'm not joking wise, genuinely has problems. Dylan Brooks just an asshole. Yeah. There's a big difference. You mentioned Wimby, so let's get into this. We'll go around the NBA for a little bit. As I mentioned, I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. If you've been paying attention to the past week, Wimby came down to Phoenix and whooped our ass back to back. The first game they came back, we were up by like 20-something. Kevin Durant decided to hand the ball to your boy Keldon Johnson. Lose at the last second with 3 seconds to go. And then we play them the next night. And Wimby goes for 38. Apparently, Phoenix forgets how to play basketball. Devin Booker is another meme. We already got the meme of him with Luka. Now we got another one with him and Jeremy Sochan. So tell me what you think about Wimby so far, because, you know, we had some questions about the boy before the season started.
Let's be honest with you. I wasn't a witness, I guess, per se. It was just good to see another young kid with his stature, with his body, come to the league. I believe, yep. Do I like him? Does he have, you know, potential? And yeah, he has a lot of potential. To me, shit, Holmgren would have been a better pick, or it would have been a better player with a better upside to me in my eyes until the season started. And I must say now that I believe this kid might be the new face of the NBA in the next few years. I'm not going to put a timetable on it. I've always had a list of people who I keep a close eye on, who I think might be pretty decent down the road. And a lot of times I might be right. Now, I might not say all these names. I've been known to call a Kyle Kuzma before Kyle Kuzma was who he was.
That's a fact, for the record. Like, I don't like to give this man credit for much. That's a fact.
I called Kyle Kuzma, you know, a few other people. I called Bobo. Bobo has not lived up to the potential that I think he has, but he has some kind of potential deep down. What he's missing, maybe Victor Wembanyama can rub off on him, and, you know, from a distance, and hey man, this is what we got. So I am a believer in Victor Wembanyama. I think he's gonna be all right. He's gonna be all right in the NBA. So,
well, look, man, I think the kid has talent. I mean, of course, with the dude that big. When I say big, I mean he's tall, because, you know, the boy ain't no bigger than damn pencil. But with dudes of that size, you know, the concern is injuries. You know, can their feet stay healthy? You know, I think of Bill Walton. I think of Yao Ming. I think of Sam Bowie. I think of Manu Bol. Like, so many of these guys, so many feet issues. So if they can keep that boy healthy, and if he can, man, get that man on the weight room right now,
So this is what I got. I don't think, you know, let's not rest to put weight on him.
I don't want him. I don't want him to get bigger. I just want him to get stronger.
I think the foot issue is a valid point. I think, you know, just in the early, you know, early visual, his mobility, the way he can stretch and everything is far fetched. You don't find this. The video of the kid doing the splits is ridiculous. It's insane. He's still young, so him having feet and leg problems, I don't know if he'll necessarily be one of those. We've never seen a 7-footer do a split
that easy. No, sir. Yeah, man, the boy gonna be a beast already. And the most impressive thing to me about him isn't his size, isn't his length, isn't that the boy can do a split like my boy on the cheerleading squad. It's that he already is an excellent defender, and I want his footwork to continue to grow. But he's so damn long, and he got anticipation. Yeah. Like, you remember Marcus Camby? Marcus Camby's probably the best help side big I've ever seen, at least in my generation, when it comes to shot block and stuff like that. Because most defenders, most big man defenders are good on ball defenders. Marcus Camby was a help side guy. He got that. If he can keep that up, playing with Pop, straight.
And that's the thing for me. So, I mean, it's not even, he's winning games out here. He's winning. He's finding a way to win games. He's not just showing up playing basketball every night. He out here trying to win, and that was evident with the two games against Phoenix. Most people would have expected them to lay down when they got down 18, 20 points. Yeah. This kid, you know, they didn't stop playing it too. And it's not just him. It's a team thing. But him coming into the system this quick, figuring it out and winning games, you know, is pretty good to see so far. So, I hope they keep it up. It'll be good for the NBA to see San Antonio actually compete in the championships again in the near future. So
they're due. They are due. It's been too long for them to be that bad, and Pop ain't going nowhere no time soon. So as we currently speak, we're recording this on a Friday night. Tonight is the very first night of this, what I'm going to officially call the dumbass ain't got nothing better to do tournament. But, yeah, for whatever reason, Adam Silver been pushing for this for years, and they finally got a tournament inside the season just to get us to the tournament after the season. Help me understand it. I don't know. But all 30 teams are in it. I sent you the picture of all the courts, which you trashed immediately. But, man, look, why do we need an in-season tournament, dog? I don't understand. Like, what else is it that... You're paying these dudes $20, $30, $40, $50 million a year. You got to keep them motivated by giving them more money to play a game that they're already getting paid for? Like, I don't understand. Okay, though.
So I think, you know, that's a valid point for the naked eye. That part is the, you know, what we're doing at this point. It's just a motivation tactic. Most of the players in the NBA don't even know what's going on. They just playing the game that's on the schedule for the night. They don't even understand the tournament. I do believe, you know, trying to figure it out for the last couple of days, that it's not the motivation for the basketball teams. It's the motivation for America. We watch basketball, and it's just the same. It's just the same these days. I think it's more because they raise so much money, we got to dish out enough money to keep it balanced in these books. I think it's a real business side to this for them to have a random tournament. Recently, we changed the names of trophies, MVP trophies, and all this. I think we just it's just another money plot. I could be wrong, but again, just from the outside looking in, it's just another way to say, hey, let's take your Friday night and have you sit down for the weekend and watch basketball. We know you have so much other things that we can be doing. Yeah. But we make money when you watch. So what we're going to do is switch the courts. We'll give you an in-season tournament for the first couple of weeks in the season. That it don't make sense to me. We just started the season 2 weeks ago.
We already tournament, yeah. Tournament. Yeah.
You know, like that's AAU basketball. That's middle school, high school basketball when we have tournaments the first few weekends. A lot of times we have, you know, the basketball season just started and we're doing the holiday tournament in November and December, you know, around Thanksgiving and all this. So I think that's what we have going on here. It's just competition for attention at the same time. Let's raise more money because we have so much money. Let's find a way to get new money and kind of leak into. If you pay attention, they got new sponsors for these tournaments.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it opens up a whole different, you know, genre when it comes to money making. So
new jerseys.
Mad at it.
Jerseys for the thing. It's fair.
Just for the record, the courts are horrible.
Hey man, I like some of them, dog. I like some of them. I do.
We've turned this into NBA 2K Blacktop.
Yeah.
And
basically.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we have a league for that, and I wish the NBA would stop gatekeeping and go ahead and let the Big Three do what they do. I'm saying that right here. The Big Three, they should let the Big Three be great. Sponsor the Big Three if you really want to, you know, put some money somewhere. You sponsor the WNBA, you know, why not sponsor the Big Three and have a big money tree for everybody to eat off of? I don't think it's
be
a bad thing.
I agree. Can you imagine how big that? I think of it, and this is, forgive the tangent, but I think when I said you make sense. You know, when the XFL came back and Rock bought it, the one thing he said was he wanted it to be player number 54. Basically, all the dudes who are just good enough to be the last dude cut from a roster. And what he did was he made a deal with the NFL to where they worked together. So that way it's almost like a scouting, kind of real life scouting combine or company for the NFL. It won't be the same way with the Big Three, because normally it's retired dudes or dudes that are just out the league. It could be the opposite of that. But they could work into, man, so many of these dudes who are, like, I think about a guy like your boy Carmelo, when he was going through what he was going through in the league, where we knew he could still play and play out. He was older, we knew he could still play, but he wasn't a star no more. And could he take that? Could he handle it? If the NBA had a deal with the Big Three where he could have made comparable money, he ain't going to make $20 million no more. But like, can you imagine if Melo would have just went to the Big Three and still would have been affiliated with the NBA?
And that's what I'm saying. They should always have that option. I think the one reason Carmelo didn't or hasn't gone yet is because he knows that the NBA has a clause. You can't come back to the NBA after you go to the Big Three. I think that's the issue. We got to, you know, figure that out. Because you have a lot of players that's sitting right now who deserve to be seen, whether it's entertainment value, whether it's market value, or, you know, just to play basketball. We're talking John Wall is sitting at home. Dwight Howard, Paul, is sitting at home.
Come on, Cameron. What would you do, Doug?
You got James Harden who will be at home this time next year if he don't figure it out. So you got a lot of known and good name players for the entertainment value, at least. You know, let these guys play in the Big Three and still, you know, Boogie Cousins sitting at home.
Now, that blows my mind. I don't understand that at all. But we got a hot take section coming, so save some of that for the hot takes, because like you'd hit about three of them. The Boogie Cousins stuff pisses me off to this moment. I do want to kind of go through this bullshit tournament for a second. And the one interesting thing about it is, to me, is these teams are going to be drastically different now than they will be in April, May, right? There's still trades to be had. Still people are going to get picked up, get cut. Injuries may happen. Roster changes. Coaches may be in and out. So right now, like you said, you know, when you play AAU or middle school or high school ball, the early tournaments, you're not the same team at the beginning as you are at the end. So right now, I want you to let's kind of go through and pick who we think is going to win these brackets. So in the West A block is the Memphis Grizzlies, the Phoenix Suns, the Lakers, the Utah Jazz, and the Trailblazers. If you had to pick right now, who do you think is going to win that block?
Yeah, the honest truth, I don't think the top tier teams even show up.
Agreed.
To necessarily, not necessarily compete, but to give you the playbook. In the tournament right now, showing all the players you have, showing your game plan, doing all that is egregious. It's just diabolical. Why are we doing that? And we still want to play in June for the real championship. So with that being said, I think that most of your top tier teams really just doing open runs. These are good practices, but these games do count in the season, I believe. So we're not planning to lose, but we're not planning to give you, you know, to give you our 100% effort as far as gameplay. You might see a lot more bench players play during these tournaments. But with that being said, I do believe that your building teams, your new teams, your Portland Trailblazers, your Oklahoma, you know, a couple of teams who are just getting their feet under them, good rookies, good potential.
Well,
showing up to really play.
In that block, you got the Memphis Grizzlies, you got the Suns, you got the Lakers, you got the Jazz and the Blazers. So give me a pick. Who do you think is going to take that? Because the way you're talking, it's all like the Blazers.
That's actually who I'm going with. I don't see Memphis competing for anything but free time out of jail. So with the rest of them, I have to go with the Portland Trailblazers. The Utah Jazz, maybe 1A, 1B, but I'm going to go with the Portland Trailblazers.
It's funny, dog, because you kind of dissed the team I think is the favorite in this bracket. I like Memphis. Marcus Smart trying to get the squad right. They know they're going to have to stay competitive until Ja gets back. Otherwise, they have no chance in the West. They are still a very deep team outside of Ja. They just need some leadership. The right guy to be there for that leadership is a guy like Marcus Smart. You know, you already know how I feel about their coach. I think their coach is top notch. I got Memphis, dog. B block for the West. You got the champs, the Nuggets. You got the old folks home, aka the Clippers. You got the Pelicans. You got the Grizzlies. Not the Grizzlies, I'm sorry, the Mavericks. And you got H-Town. You got the hometown. You got the Rockets. By the way, love the new H-Town jerseys, some city jerseys. Yeah, sure. I'm about to get one of them.
Yeah, it's fair. The H-Town, yeah, sure. Yeah, they could have kept the whole extracurricular activity thing for the NBA. The courts, the jerseys, they just show up in Clutch City, why don't we? The B bracket, first of all, if I can go back to the A for a second, Memphis is, I'm praying for them. I don't see them being able to compete in the West anyway. I think it's just a little too much for that particular team to handle. It's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
25 games out the gate, and then nobody in the league has forgotten nothing over the last, you know, 2 years with this team. Nothing. I saw Steph Curry put Dylan Brooks on skating. He's not even with the team anymore. He had the boy, you know, fighting for his life in one play. So it's going to be, you know, tough for Memphis to, you know, bounce back after 25 games. Marcus Smart, that's cute on paper, but Marcus Smart is Marcus Smart. I don't think Marcus Smart makes it as far as he does without the rest of the Boston Celtics. So we'll see how that holds up.
Maybe. In Memphis. So who's your pick? Who's you picking to be black?
Actually, believe it or not, I'm going to have to go with the Clippers. I think this is the point where they get their camaraderie together. Hmm. Again, you know, like I said, too many top tier teams not playing for nothing.
Hmm.
But this team, this team, is it really a top-tier team? I think they sit right in the middle of the pack where it comes to we can play basketball, we look good on paper, but we still got to show up and prove it. And that's the problem that they've had for the last 5 years. We look nice. We just haven't showed up together and proved it. This is where they get the camaraderie going. Now, you know, that might be one team that is actually good to have something to play for. The last few years, we just been playing because we play in the NBA. We get to June. If we can make it to June, then we'll compete. A lot of times, you know, we might not make it to the first two rounds of the playoffs because, you know, my knees hurt. My ankle hurt. So it's early in the season. This might be something good for them. Everybody still is potentially healthy at this point. This might be a good thing for them to get their camaraderie and get their legs under, get the whole competition feel as far as playing for a cup or trophy, and, you know, get their chemistry together with all those big name players. You got Westbrook, Harden, PG, number two. I took a page from Skip Bayless right there. I think that, you know, this would be good for them. So who you got?
Dog, believe it or not, I got the Pelicans because they better use Zion before he get hurt again in December.
Okay. I like it.
And the C block, we got the Kings, the Warriors, the T-Wolves, the Thunder, and the aforementioned San Antonio Spurs. I'm guessing you lean the Spurs since Wimby out here balling.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the Spurs, man. It's hard to go against the Spurs right now.
Agreed. Although, you know, me and you discussed Wimby versus Chet Holmgren. I love what Oklahoma City is doing. That I'm gonna go with the Spurs too because they've shown already they got that chemistry. Dog, someone could talk me into OKC, bro. I just gotta say. All right, brother, let's get to this East. We got the Sixers, we got the Cavs, we got the Hawks, we got the Pistons, and we got the Pacers. I know we have a segment y'all don't know about, but we call it Basura Papi. This is the Basura Papi block. This is trash.
Yeah. The Sixers, the Pacers. I'm going to be honest with you. You can just roll the dice. Pick one out of this.
Straight up, dog. If I had to pick today, Cleveland's probably the best team now that James Harden is gone. But man, I like what Tyrese Halliburton is doing in Indy, bro. Like he really trying to make his claim as one of, if not the best point guard in the game, pure point guard. So I like what they're doing, man. I like what he's doing, bro. So I'm gonna go with Indiana. Why not?
You know, deep down I want to as well. This is probably the one time I'm like only because the jerseys are horrible. The court is horrible. The court is horrible. And they had the notice score the first points in the season tournament, the Indiana Pacers. So I'm definitely going to have to go with, you know what? Is this the bracket with the, the Nets?
No. This is the six. No, that's C.
Hawks, yes. Hawks, Pistons. Hey, you know what? I'm going with the Pistons, man. I'm going with the Pistons.
Damn. I have to. America can't even name two players on the Pistons, and you're going with them.
I can name at least five.
Name them without Googling.
Cunningham.
Yep.
Ivy.
Yep.
Durin.
Who? Oh, Durin. Okay. Yeah. Who's number four? Okay.
Stewart. James Wiseman.
Okay.
Thompson. They got the Thompson. I don't know if it's Amir or Ashir.
It don't. They twins. We get it. They twins. You get that pass.
And they got Monty Williams. I think the Detroit Pistons and the Houston Rockets sit 1A, 1B as far as my future potentials, all the way across the board. I like the coaching, the team. The team is building off of each other with the coach and with the new coach for both teams. So I'm gonna go with Detroit Pistons.
I just like to tell America. Well, this is a global show. If you're listening from outside of America, we appreciate you. Just want you to know, this is probably the most the Pistons will be talked about on this show all year. The B block, you got Milwaukee, you have New York, you got the Heat, you got the Wizards, you got the Hornets. I'm going to go with Gotham City, dog. I'm going with the Knicks, bro. And the Knicks can't win in the playoffs, so they might as well get this one, right?
The Knicks' first game was going to be against Milwaukee.
Okay, well, they may lose that game. But, like, in terms of the block, I think I got the Knicks.
Oh, man, I want to like the Knicks, man. They don't show up. When it's time to show up, they play really good, you know. They might even play really good this first game, and then the next game, we like, let's get rid of Julius Randle. So, out of that group, I'm going to have to go with the Bucks. Here's why.
You don't really have to explain the Bucks. It's the Bucks, but by all means.
You remember in the first, you know, the first group, I said that we might not even play all your top tier players. The top tier teams don't have anything to really play for. That was what I said. I think this Bucks team is the same thing. And in that level, we don't really got too much to play for. But let's show these boys early that we are here, that we serious, and we go contend in June. A lot of people just calling this a fluke, you know, like let's just put these boys together. It's going to be a skatewalk. I think this tournament is when they try to prove to themselves and prove to the world that they were made to be with each other. You know, we haven't seen Kobe and Shaq in a long time. We've seen Jordan and Pippen when we got Dwayne Wade and LeBron. We haven't seen a Kobe, a Shaq. We haven't seen anything close since 03, 04. The last thing that we even remember close to Kobe and Shaq, maybe you got Yao Ming and T-Mac for a couple of games.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this in a long time. So I think they show up early and put the rest of the haters to rest for the rest of the season as far as winning, you know, tournaments and championships.
Maybe.
That's what we're here for. It's what we're here for, and we not even go play with y'all at the gates. Let's just go ahead and show y'all early. We haven't even got it all together. We not even going to run all our plays. We got a brand new coach. We out here just competing just to see if we can win off of just pure competition alone. And that's what you got from Kobe and Shaq. Triangle most of the time worked, but it worked because they was the ones that made it work.
Yeah. They take so much attention on the court. That as long as you have shooters and spacing, someone's open, always.
Most of the plays that won the Lakers games back in the day didn't have nothing to do with the triangle. They would tip, you know, shots to Robert Horry,
Brian Shaw,
off of a rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, so it wasn't the triangle that won. So let's just keep our plays in our holster. We just go out here and play and see what we can do.
And okay,
that's a good team to be able to do that. Most teams can't show up every night and be, you know, in a conversation as far as winning every night. Some teams really got to show up and play. This is one team who can, you know, show up on a back-to-back drunk and still compete for 48 minutes. And, you know, it helps a lot, I guess, to have Giannis' brother as the assistant coach. So
they got the whole Antetokounmpo family down in Milwaukee now, bro. I think didn't the Antetokounmpos become the mayor of Milwaukee or something? Like, they've taken over, bro.
Yeah, it's good. That's good for them, you know, just to have something to do. So it's really good for them.
Well, they rich for life because that man got $200+ million contract. So that whole family eating for generations.
Yeah, right.
C block and our final block is, you mentioned a top tier team. We got one more. We got the Celtics. Then we got the Nets, the Bulls, the Raptors, and the Magic. I'm going to throw mine out here real fast because I really like what the Magic are building with Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner. I do not understand what John Isaac does, but apparently everybody likes him. I don't get anything he's good at, but he's long. But Paolo is for real. But I'm going to go with the Nets, bro. Nets. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, you know. I'm a Suns fan. I always have love for them boys. And the most underrated weapon in the NBA, Cam Thomas. Boy's a bucket. He's getting 25 or bust.
First three games of the season, 30 points.
Yeah, because they don't play him.
First three games this season, he averaged 30.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah, the boy can ball. That's it's just crazy. They don't want to put him in the starting lineup for whatever reason. The kid can ball, bro. Who you got?
Man, you know, it's crazy that you started off with building up the Magic and how you like the Magic, and then you just went on over to the Nets, you know.
Kind of pivoted. Or, you know, we're wrestling fans on this network. I swerved.
I got to be honest with you. I'm going to have to go with it. Let me tell you first. Let me say this. The Celtics will be one of the best teams in the NBA this year.
Probably the best.
Yeah, they got a chance to be great. I agree with you with the Magic. I actually can call out a few names on the Magic who are going to be great. Wagner. Franz Wagner. He's going to be good. Put him on the list of names to watch.
Franz is a beast.
They got a couple of good players. Again, Bobo was there when I first caught on to Bobo. So, you know,
shout out to the fact that Markelle Fultz remembered how to shoot and is actually a good player now. Shout out to him.
Yeah, trade Markelle Fultz as quick as possible, please. On that note.
Damn. Hey, shout out to that man. He's good. No, get rid of that bum. Oh, okay.
Y'all deal with y'all and to do with him. Let him go somewhere else and be great. You know, if I were you guys, I call Utah. Go try to get Roy Markkanen. Something like that. Y'all,
there's
like
no way in hell. No way in hell. But good try.
I drop Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz right now for Roy Markkanen.
You better be trading 1994 Penny Hardaway too. You had it.
You ain't got to even send Jordan Clarkson. Just send me Markkanen. And you can have one of the Wagner brothers. You can't have friends, but you can get the other one. We don't really want him. But I'm not speaking on behalf of him. I'm not doing at the point at this, you know, right now. Shout out to Toronto. Rest in peace to everything that got going on. Actually going to have to go with the New Jersey. Excuse me, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I like the Brooklyn Nets as well.
They don't care. They don't care wherever they play, they trash, but I think they're going to be good now. Okay, so that's our breakdown of this dumbass tournament. Holla at me Christmas Day. That's all I got to say. Nonetheless, a lot of good basketball going on, some good games. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to do some hot takes and talk about some trash in the NBA. Or should we say, basura, papi. Give us just a second. We'll be right back.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Before we continue, I would like to remind you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Get some of them, some of the good old merch, some good shirts. You can even get a soft style. It's extra $5, but it's nicer, you know, a nicer little fabric on your skins. Yo, Trey, we're going to have to get a Basura Poppy shirt. I can work on that. But Let's get some of these hot takes out of here, man. I want to start, if you don't mind, because we're probably going to both talk about this for a second. James Harden, dog. Fuck this dude, bro. Four teams in four seasons. And he would be on this list in general. But did you hear what he said in his press conference? He blamed his issues with Philly was not giving him the ball enough, but led the league in assists last season. And he said, I'm not a system player. I am the system. What in the Jay-Z blueprint are we talking about, dog? Really?
So here's it is for me. I don't want to be a James Harden hater.
But please do it. It's so fun.
It's out of control what he's doing, but he's doing it and he's getting away with it and they better. Now, the only problem with me, I agree with you. What are we doing? How can we blame the system? And that system is not even in place anymore. That system left after the playoffs. As soon as the playoffs was over with, the first thing that they did was fire Doc Rivers. So your system is gone. If that was going to be your excuse, you could have, you know, that showed up and played this year in a new system and then say, hey, with one system worked, the other one didn't, or none of these system things worked, but you blame it something that was already taken away, you know, that shouldn't have been a problem this year. That's not a good look for me, and that's when, me personally, I start to become a hater. Like, what are we doing at this point? We're giving you everything you want, and you still want to blame everybody else for your problem. I wouldn't personally would have never said anything else about Philadelphia after I got in LA. You got to where you want to go. They took back whatever they took. I mean, they took back, you know, a couple of underground crackers and some yo-yos. you know, those 100-gram crackers, you know, you touch them wrong, come on out the bed, they break. Can't even really eat them whole. You got to break them down, eat them. So you don't really, I'm not, you know, you blaming everybody else for the problem is even beyond me. I just don't get that part. Again, I would have just came in, kept my head down with the work, improved it on the court. I still am who I am. I think it's off to a rocky start already with the Clippers, with him going to the Clippers, because he's still holding on to baggage in Philadelphia. And he haven't even been around there, you know, in weeks. He showed up to a couple of games last week, but that was just in hopes of playing at that point. You already, you know, played your hand at that point, man. Can't really burn too many bridges, is what we were taught, but James Harden, you know, burn the bridge, take the ladders, he come to the other side and look at you on the other side and say, you should have been the one that was on the bridge trying to get across, not me, but I'm over here now. It's just ridiculous. So, you know, big ups to him. I hope he stays safe out here in these streets and, you know, have a good season. Did hear that Kawhi Leonard made it to a strip club. That's awesome, man. new beginning, so.
Let the record show that the big ups came from Trey and not me, because fuck that dude. One, like, I wish him health and prosperity, but I want nothing to do with him. I don't ever want to hear his name again. I think James Harden, look, man, you and I grew up with dreams of being in the league. Like, our goal, me and Trey's goal growing up as kids were to be the best player on this team and the best player on this team and meet in the finals and play against each other. And that was our dream. Clearly it didn't happen, but like, we've wanted to be ball players our whole lives. And so from dudes, specifically me, who's watched this game my whole life, loved this game, played this game, to see a dude who has all the talent in the world, to see a dude who makes all the money in the world, and like, he's the type of guy that gives basketball a bad rap, because like, at what point is enough enough? At what point can you take responsibility? At what point can you be accountable for what you've done? You said it perfectly. You said it 1000% perfectly, that if the system was a problem, they fired the dude who was the system for you. For you. If you can't make it work with the MVP of the league, who can you make it work with? I don't understand. Now, I can understand. I want to play at home. All right, cool. I get that. But you understand that you've lost your benefit of the doubt when you're in Houston and, oh, I want to go play for Daryl Morey because he left. And you went to Daryl Morey. You couldn't get to Daryl Morey, so you went to go play with your boy KD again and Kyrie. I want to be in Brooklyn. You got to Brooklyn. Kyrie acted a plum-ass fool. He left. I want to be gone. I want to go play for Daryl Morey again. You go play for Daryl Morey. You play with the MVP. Daryl Morey, who's the only person who's a bigger fan of this man, is James Harden, mama and his grandma. Other than that, like, it's Daryl Morey number three. Daryl Morey go to sleep in James Harden 90s, bro. Like, he loved this man. And you hate this dude because he wouldn't trade you? Or because didn't give you the money that you said you wanted? When you clearly are the reason why you're not making that money, because nobody trusts you enough to give you the check. In fact, real quick before you go, Trey, it has been reported, and it's a report I believe because it comes from reputable sources, that the Rockets were going to offer him the max, but he wanted to be the old James Harden from 2013. And they're like, nah, son, can't do that. We've moved on.
Which takes me to my next point. What exactly is James Harden thinking that he's going to get out of playing in L.A. with these Clippers? With these Clippers who has a system, a certain system.
Yep.
Matter of fact, you know, I wouldn't be too far-fetched to say that they're not too far away from the Doc Rivers system.
I mean, well, look who Ty Lue played for.
Look who Ty Lue played for, and look a lot of Ty Lue, assistant coaches, Sam Cassell. I mean, you know, like, you know, these was coaches who's been with him. You know, they might be at different places now, but a lot of this stuff that Ty Lue knows comes from that same system. Ty Lue mm-hmm. was the coach when the Cavaliers won the championship. Where was Ty Lue coaching at when Doc Rivers won the championship?
No, you know, straight up.
I think this whole system thing is crazy. Again, though, here's why I don't necessarily, I can't be as hard on him as I should or probably want to. A certain part of me realized that at some point between the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, we failed a whole generation and beyond.
Uh-oh.
And when I say failed, we got a bunch of babies who feel like they're entitled to a bunch of stuff. And what happens to us who are not necessarily old school, but brought up by old school people, we decided that, you know, we want y'all to have a better life. We want this younger generation to have a better life than we have. So it's for me to help you get a better life. So, yeah, let me get you the plane, the jets. Let me get you the life that you desire. So that way you can still be great for me. Dal Moore and James Harden both took a bet, a gamble on each other. They both won.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
They both won. They both won with each other. And to the you know, factor where it got to the point where as long as you're around, I got you. If you ever need me, call me. We are dream girls. We are friends. We best friends. We ride together. We die together. Bad boys for life. You know,
let's
like
go.
This is what we're talking about with James Harden and Daryl Morey up until childish one, or the little kid one, or the one, the younger one, the one that we failed generation-wise, couldn't handle a little sternness. Or a little sternness. Somebody putting their foot down and saying, hey, you know, I'm used to giving you what you want, but I still got to be your elder. I still got to show you the right way. I still got to do this the right way. It's still a business at the end of the day. It's not for me to give you everything. And he still got everything he wanted. It turns around to point at the finger at Daryl Moore. Now, it's ironic. It's not ironic. It's just crazy to me. It blows my mind that this whole time, Daryl Moore hasn't really said too much bad about James Harden.
He's just been saying
that the situation is crazy. You know, the Clippers, they don't want to do this and such thing, but he never has said James Harden is a liar. James Harden didn't deliver. James Harden didn't show up all these years when I needed him to in Game 5, Game 6, Game 7. James Harden didn't miss 22 threes by himself and when he was with the Rock, you know. Or hasn't said anything, which is crazy, but that just goes to show how the generation that we feel is, I mean, that's all the way across tables. I know a lot of grown-ups today who blame everybody else for their problems and seem to forget when it was you being down more to them, you know, putting them in certain situations to be great, helping them out along the way. You know, you rub my back, I rub yours. It's a lot of people who I know, you know, in this everyday life who are entitled to something that is not for them. You know, at a certain point, it wasn't James Harden that was handling the business. It was just James Harden that was receiving the benefits from Dal Morey handling good business.
Yep. I'm all for player empowerment. I'm actually a big advocate of it. For far too long, in all of these leagues, owners, these teams, these leagues have been able to do whatever they wanted to these players. They can trade them however they want. They can cut them, whatever. So I think it's good that the players have a sense of empowerment and a certain level of some control over their own careers and whatever. I'm all for that, but when you see James Harden throwing this fit and getting him traded from four teams in 4 years, that has, and for the most part, irreparably ruined all four of these teams. When you see a guy like Kevin Durant who signs a brand new deal in the offseason and then midway through the very next season, the first season of the new deal, I want to be traded. Like, these are the things that make you question, well, man, is player empowerment what it should be? Because it's like, I'm all for your contracts need to be guaranteed. Yes, I agree. You deserve to have the right to request a trade. Yes, I agree. But at a certain point, you can't hold a team hostage, dog, because, like, it's not just you on the squad. This is not tennis. This is not golf. This is not an individual sport. There are 12 to 14 other players on this team. There are six coaches. There are staff members. There are people who literally depend on you to make their living. When LeBron left Cleveland the first time, like, it was a billion-dollar swing in the business of Cleveland. Like, literally, downtown Cleveland did not make – it was like a billion-dollar loss over a number of years when he left compared to when he was there, the revenue that him being in the team, on the team in the city, garnered. So, like, I don't expect these guys to walk around with that weight because they're just ball players. They're dudes. I respect that. I get that. But it's just, it's maddening to me as a guy sitting here watching the sport, you know, paying my money to enjoy and catch all these games and watch all these different games and follow these teams and whatnot. And to see these dudes, the top level dudes at that, out here, you know, let's even throw Damian Lillard some smoke, because that dude was the most loyal dude in the league and deserved, had every right to request a trade. Like, he did put his time in. But the time to request a trade should have been before the draft. You screwed your team.
Just a side note. Damian Lillard never would have requested a trade if he knew he wasn't leaving his wife. All right, go ahead.
Okay, there's a hot take for you. All facts. But I'm just saying, dog, if you're going to do it, like, to play the wishy-washy, the whole world knew you wanted to be out of there, dog. And the whole world knew the Blazers were going in a whole different direction. So for you, like, you mad that they didn't... Who did you expect in the draft at number three? Or number two? Who did you expect? Like, I get Brandon Miller isn't a point. Cool. But Asur Thompson is a point. Amen Thompson is a combo guard. Like, who the fuck did you expect? Like, I don't understand. The sense doesn't make... Like, the math ain't mathing to me. So... Yeah. Like, it gives a bad image of the league. It gives a bad image of the players. If we want to get a little deeper, which we don't have to, I really don't want to in this conversation, but it gives a bad impression of people as black men. Like, all this money we're getting, and we're going to act a plum-ass fool for nothing. It's not a good look.
All of this affects, I do believe that somebody in the league office just took that same sentiment and said, hey, man, push this trade. Let's get this over with because we got to get this off the books. This is bringing too much, you know, the wrong attention for the wrong reasons. You know, I will say that James Harden played his hand, man. Again, Brandon Bridges, I just beat his thing. This kid literally went to China and told China, one of the biggest business, you know, investments as far as the NBA ever. China itself.
Yep.
And told them, you know, Daryl Morey is a liar. At this point, you open up a whole can of, you know, it's just so much behind the story. For the record, James Harden haven't been to China in 4 years. Why would we go this year?
Yeah, that's a good ass point. By the way, Trey, who's China's favorite team?
Who is the favorite team?
Yeah.
The Houston Rockets.
There you go. And James Harden was the face of that team for 7 years. So
when he said this, at that point, unbeknownst to us, we didn't know at the time. He must have been having conversations with the Rockets too. Thinking he was coming back to the Rockets. You know, we didn't know that at that point.
Great point.
He wants to come to the Rockets, and hey, you know, I still want to be the same James Hart, and the Rockets don't shut him down. That's part of burning bridges, man, because you coming back to the same Raphael Stone who you put him in a position to get rid of you too. This was his first major move. Now you want to come back? So, and when you said what you said about China, you do, you know, realize Raphael Stone at that point is Daryl Morey's junior. You know, he's the offspring of Daryl Morey. So you want to talk bad about my people and then come back to my, you know, to my thing. That's not going to work. So shout out to James Harden's mom, though.
Hey, Mama Harden.
Hey, Mother Harden. You got to be strong to handle this kind of stuff. But I believe she's still holding it down at A-Town. If you're single, holler at me.
No, please don't. Please don't. Please do not. Please ignore that. Please.
I thought I was too much sad.
So, hey, so we hit some hot takes, but we've talked about some stuff that I think deserves to say by Soda Poppy. So your boy James Harden and the whole situation deserves that. But I got one for you. If Basura Papi to PJ Tucker, the only reason you in the league, dog, is because you're James Harden's best friend, bro.
Yeah, at this point, you eat with James Harden. It's like it's interesting, man, because the only reason PJ Tucker even had a contract as decent as he does, PJ Tucker is the epitome of triple singles. This guy show up and don't you know, he might not even shoot the ball at all, like under his own will. Just not even he may not even shoot the ball, you know. So the only reason you got the contract you do have is because of James Harden. Now let me say this, I want this to be on record, man, because I'm not a PJ Tucker basketball fan. I am a PJ Tucker personality fan.
Yeah.
Personality. I have seen PJ Tucker around. He's never been, you know, a jerk, asshole. This is the kind of guy who drive with the sunroof off downtown, light, stopping at all the lights, just to wave at the people. You know, stay over there, though. But, you know, it's good. Hey, you know, so I am a PJ Tucker, you know, fan, but, and I do think he deserves a spot in the league. I don't know if it's just necessarily that spot. Standing at 6'5", I need PJ Tucker to be coming down a, you know, on a couple of little tween step back, you know, as he lay. You don't get none of that. The defense is cool. The defense is nice. But the defense is back in the 80s and the 90s. Nobody playing defense this day. Nobody has to play defense this day. It's all about outscoring the opponent. We don't care about stopping.
I disagree there. I disagree with that. But I see where you're coming from. But, dogs, you got to have somebody that can defend. And hey, PJ Tucker is just Black Shane Battier. Like that?
Back in there. And what age is that? It's the 90s and the 2000s. And I agree. You do have to have somebody that can play defense. But if they can't score, then you missing a man. You down a man on offense. Prime example. If Giannis couldn't give you 18, 20, 25, 30 a night, if Giannis only giving you 8 to 10 points a night, Giannis is not the Giannis that we know him as. Very defensive player. But they down. Let me tell you, okay, here's another prime example. Same team, Milwaukee. Jay Crowder, I don't think was a vital part of anybody's team offensively.
Hey, man, when he was a Phoenix, Jay gave us 15 a night.
And then when they got rid of him, we had a hard time getting that same Jay. Jay Crowder didn't even play in the playoffs last year.
I think your perfect example is actually Rudy Gobert. That's the perfect example for you.
What's the story, Poppy? I've been waiting on them. For sure. Rudy Gobert is—he's probably the example of we need Boogie Cousins in the league. Dwight Howard still deserve to be in the league. That's the example that I'm getting with Rudy Gobert. This is horrible. I don't even know. I guess this guy—I don't want to say that, man—but 7 feet. For what? What are we doing with your height?
Hey, you don't rock with the Stifle Tower, bro.
He's a great defensive player. He can block shots and he can do that. He can't catch an alley-oop. He can't throw a pass. He can't. You're missing at least 15, 20 points with Rudy Gobert. And you stopping, 8 to 10 points a night, but you're missing 15. If you can't match the defense with the offensive. Plus minus. Maybe that's just to say it like that. The plus minus defensive offense. And we don't really need it. Brook Lopez has remained in the league as long as he has because he's a spot up shooter.
But the threes still, up, bro.
Yep. Still, you know, this is why.
Two blocks, 10 assists, 10 rebounds a game, yeah.
You know more about a Brook Lopez than you do a Mitchell Robinson. But Mitchell Robinson,
I love Mitch. How you're rated.
He's probably how
I love rated. Mitch.
The 2K. But Mitchell Robinson catching alleys and doing all this. Oh, we know Mitchell Robinson. Yeah. Naj Reid.
Ooh.
Naj Reid scored 25 the first game of the season.
Naj Reid is a guy that why I still don't understand why they traded for Rudy Gobert when they had Naj Reid the whole time.
Right.
And remember they had Brandon Clark, Jared Vanderbilt, and who else? They had another big that came off the bench. It was real nice. Like, they had nice bigs. The problem was Cat. That's the problem. The
problem was Cat. And then you put the Cat and then you put Gobert together. You, that was to offset. Cat could play offense. He's all right on defense. Cat can't really play offense. Give him a wide open shot. Yeah, you give him a wide open shot, you'll take it, he's going to hit. Cat not getting big in the block, going up, dunking at that. But the problem, I think, what they tried to do was clog up the paint. That way one can take one side, the other take the other side. One want to go, the other one come out, pop, boom. That was how it was supposed to work. But, Basur, what's your Basur pocket? I really feel bad for Minnesota fans because you got a lot of potential on paper. I don't know how you put all that potential together. The best thing, the only thing that probably helped, I hope they hear this, maybe this will give y'all some motivation. This is the Charles Barkley side of me. The best thing that's going to help the Minnesota Timberwolves at this point would have been Flip Saunders. And unfortunately,
damn.
We don't.
Damn.
We don't. Yeah, because that's what you need. You need that. Like I was saying earlier about the generation that we just lost to. You just need an old head that know the game good enough to come in and say, hey, you know what? This is how we're going to do it. We're going to make it work. And if it don't work, we're going to stick to something that will work. But they can't find what worked because every single game giving me something different. This is why Anthony Edwards is not consistent. He's good, but he's not consistent. And he went to Team USA. He had a system. He had a system. And the system wasn't even supposed to work out for him. He just ended up excelling in that said system because he had something and he knew what he was going to do every day. He knew what his role was. And from his role, he can either make it greater or somebody else was going to benefit from it. But it was a team effort at the end of the day. I don't see a team in Minnesota. I see three different all-star caliber players who want their team to win. So let's do what we got to do, And when that don't work, we play 1-on-1. And everything falls apart. It's only so many teams who can do that. Who can play 1-on-1 for a few minutes until everything else falls in place. Only so few is so very few.
I just want to say I want to throw a quick Basura Poppy, man. These damn city uniforms, dog. Like it's like 4 or 5 of them, then that'd be nice. But these joints trash, bro. Like I'm embarrassed to like look at half of them, dog. It's bad, bro. Shout out to Houston's. Shout out to the Utahs, even though we hate Utah here in Houston. There's a couple of them that's nice, but like by and large, these joints is garbage, dog. I love how Denver's city jerseys are numbers that have the same font as the number.
Yeah, those actually, that's just a mile high.
Yeah, 5,280 is a mile in feet. Yeah,
I think that's pretty dope.
I know, I like the idea, but you can't make it the same font. It's got to be different.
Yeah, I don't like none of the jerseys. I mean, the whole. Maybe I would have to see what the court. You know, they have certain city courts for city.
Well, they're on now. They're actually about to. They got the city jerseys, and the city court right now. They just tipped off, because as we're speaking, the Bucks just beat the Nets. Not the Nets. The Bucks just beat the Knicks, and now the champs are playing the Grizzlies. Not the Grizzlies. The Mavericks. Why I keep getting them mixed up? So basically, them white slow European boys about to come out here and act a fool and show the league what's up.
Yeah, I've been watching it. I watched the Portland, Milwaukee, and are they wearing the city jerseys tonight?
They're wearing the city jerseys, dog. Well, Denver is not the Mavericks.
I mean, yeah, I see Denver.
So what it's looking like is the home team wears the city jersey. This is what I can tell.
I guess it goes to court.
Yeah, this. All right, you got any more? You got any more trash you want to hit before we take one more break and get to the some fun things to get to end the show?
I'm a distance. This is like it's supposed to be Golden State court.
Yeah, the blue and the orange, the blue and the yellow does it. I don't get it. I don't understand. Sure. But sort of poppy to the courts. How about that?
Do I have any more Stuart poppies? I don't. At the moment, I don't, man. I don't have anything else.
Well, save it for next week, because I plan on this to be a regular thing so we can point out all this trash that's happening in the NBA, because there's a lot of it. We got one more break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. All right, Mr. Uncle Groot. I want to do a segment every week where we point out the awards of the week. We give the best MVP, best rookie, best coach, and best team of the week. But instead of that, since this is the first time we're doing this, I want to predict the awards for the year. So I want you to give me who's going to be the MVP of the year, the rookie of the year, the coach of the year, and who went in the chip. So let's start with the MVP. Who's going to be the MVP, sir?
Oh. 2023-24 mm-hmm. NBA MVP, most valuable player, which I do believe is the Michael Jordan Award now.
Oh, please don't name it that bullshit. God.
The original GOAT, by the way.
No, there's a lot of GOATs before him, but sure.
Nobody was even considering the word GOAT until we got Michael Jordan.
That's Kareem?
Nobody was even using the word. We just said that Kareem was good. He's a hell of a player. That's all you got. That's the most you got for Kareem.
Man, you don't know that because you wasn't alive in the 60s and the 70s.
Which is accurate. Which is accurate. Which will furthermore push my point. If those guys was goated back then, I think our parents would have instilled in us the real meaning of a GOAT instead of us trying to figure out which one is a GOAT.
Well, let's be real. Your daddy don't even like basketball. I don't know my daddy. So, I mean, what are you talking about?
just for the record, though, LeBron would be the GOAT. No questions asked. If he played before Mike. That's a fact.
All facts.
I'm still nobody. Nobody say Michael Jordan would be the GOAT. I mean, LeBron James would be the GOAT forever if he played before Mike. The most we know about Mike is that he was, you know, he was great. He was a good player, but he ain't reached as many points as Mike, as LeBron James. He didn't win, you know, like that's what we would have said. Oh, he got more championships, but so did Robert Ory.
You know, but he, but Jordan, they went him for three different teams. Yeah, you're right. Straight up, right.
MVP of the league, man. That one was tough for me. I don't even remember writing anything down. Just off the top of my head, man. Watching Jason Tatum play his first couple of games, it's going to be hard to not give Jason Tatum, not to have him in the top three MVP votes. I'm going to go with Jason Tatum.
You know, man, like, there are moments where I get, like, I'm upset. Like, I'm happy, but I'm upset. Because I told your ass this last week that Jason Tatum was going to be an MVP. And, of course, you're going to come on this damn show and take my pick. Yes, I think, call me crazy. Call me crazy. Jason Tatum's going to win the MVP. I think the Celtics win 70 games this year. I think the Celtics are that damn good. Like, I love Marcus Smart. I think he's a great player. He does everything he was asked to do. But they upgraded with respect to Dame Dollar. No position was upgraded in the NBA more than getting fucking Jrue Holiday over there. What he will do for that team with Porzingis. Porzingis is a fourth best player, dog. Name me a fourth player on the squad better than Porzingis. You can't. So, yeah, Jason Tatum going ball, bro. 25-8-8 for a 67-plus win team. I agree. I don't even think we need to talk about Rookie of the Year because while I love to give Scoot Henderson and Chet Holmgren some love, Wimby already runs this bitch, and this is we're a week in the season.
Brandon Miller might be a close second before Chet.
But don't forget, Chet Holmgren's a rookie this year. So
I understand. Yeah. I understand it, but I think Brandon Miller will be better because he has so much flexibility, so much.
That's fair.
You know, so much room to make plays and do what he does in Charlotte. Nobody out there is really.
The team is a team.
So, you know, Chet, you know, has to get in where he fit in, but he's going to get his numbers. Let me ask you this just to piggyback on the upgrade of the Boston Celtics. Was the upgrade necessarily defensively, or is it more because you got a player who can go get a bucket when you need a bucket?
Well, both. As great as Marcus Smart is, Marcus Smart's the first guard to win Defensive Player of the Year since Gary Payton. Jrue Holiday's better. On top of that, Jrue Holiday can get a bucket. So yes, I think in both ways. But more than anything, more than that, you know, there's a lot of talk about leadership in the NBA. And in sports in general, there's the question, does the best player of a team have to be a leader? Have to be the leader? And there's a lot of cases where the best player isn't the leader of the team. Perfect example, Draymond is the leader of the Warriors. But everybody knows Steph is the Hall of Famer.
Back.
Right. I think Jason Tatum is vocal enough to be a leader. Jaylen Brown has some leadership qualities. Like, they got people in a locker room that lead. But Jrue Holiday's won Man of the Year like every year, dog. They might as well rename the award after him. That man is a leader on and off the court, and he brings people together. People play better when they play with him. Like, if this was 2K, he would have a floor general badge because people just play better with Jrue. So I just think in every way possible, it's an upgrade. And that's no diss to Marcus Smart. It's just Drew's that good.
Is that a downgrade for Milwaukee?
I think so. I didn't like the trade when it happened. I love the idea of putting Dame and Giannis together. I think they may be like made for each other from a basketball standpoint. But as a team, the team's not better with Dame. Giannis is. But the team as a whole, I don't think is better with Dame.
Okay. I'll just get going with that just to kind of piggyback off the point that I made in the last segment. As far as the, you know, losing a player with defense and offense, man, you didn't lose too much. Nobody lost in Boston as far as the trade. The trade is an upgrade. You know, the defensive side, you was going to get what you was going to get from Marcus Smart. What you missed that somebody else can go get another bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when and you missed that with Marcus Smart, which, again, I say, now you playing 4-on-5 when it's offense. Even when you put Derek White in. Now when you put Derek White in, you got two defensive guards, plus you got two offensive players who can go get a bucket in their own respect. You didn't get that from Marcus Smart.
Agreed. And so, no, that your point is very valid on that one. I got to give it to you. And then don't forget, I love me some Robert Williams, but now with the opportunity of having Horford and Porzingis on the court together, if you want to go big or you want to go small and have Porzingis and Tatum at the four, like the possibilities you have as a coach, like it, you know, it's
ridiculous. For the record, Boston trade Al Horford. It's no love, and you know, it's no loyalty in the NBA. Kevin Durant didn't win his first ring until he left Oklahoma and went to Golden State. There's no loyalty in the NBA. You don't owe Al Horford anything. It's time to let him go. Thank you.
Well, they know loyalty in the NBA because this is Al Horford's second time with the Celtics. Remember that?
It's true.
They traded him once before.
It's true. We still ain't got nowhere.
So, with that being said, coach of the year. Do you have not Ime Udoka as coach of the year? I don't know that fool's name. What's the dude's name in Boston?
The dude that's in Houston right now in Boston?
No, the dude in Boston. I call him not Ime Udoka because basically he replaced Ime. Joe Mazzulla.
Joe Mazzulla, you know, would never be Ime Udoka. Real quick. Shout out to Ime Udoka, man. I just want you to know you the GOAT. Anybody that'll cheat on Neil Long and keep a straight face deserves to be GOATed. And sir, you have all my respect.
Who's the toxic GOAT in history? Is it Ime Udoka or is it Eric Benet?
You really want this answer?
I kind of do, actually.
Okay, let's get off the basketball for a minute. The toxic GOAT, the most toxic GOAT. I don't care. Ain't no runner up. Ain't no 1A, 1B. It's this person, and then there's a lot of space, and then anybody else. The most toxic person in America today is Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing else needs to be said. Yes.
I'm definitely going with Jada Pinkett as the GOAT toxic. You know, like, she got men up here slapping other people, other men, and then don't even, you know, come out months later, hey, we're not even married. He just did that because he liked me a little bit.
No, the cold part is she says she was more shocked that he called her his wife than she was at the slap.
That's crazy. Dog,
what
man.
Are we doing? Oh, yeah, boy. Okay.
America, be careful talking to people like this. This man has literally lost, you know, I don't know if he lost or not, but that's a big hit. You standing up and you fighting for all this stuff that ain't gonna fight for you. That got to hurt. So, you know, shout out to Tupac. Well,
he definitely
got out. Tupac. He got out way before he even, you know, he knew.
Tupac knew. I don't.
So shout out to Tupac.
Is that why he went to Vegas that night?
He went to Vegas that night hoping somebody went on ahead and took
him.
Oh,
God. The thoughts of Uncle Groot do not reflect those of chairshot.com. That's funny as hell. I got Joe Mazzulla. I don't think he's a great coach, but any team wins 70 games, you got to give him coach of the year.
Okay. Joe?
Unfortunately, yes. I don't believe in this dude. I don't think he's a good coach, but I mean, like I said, 70 wins, dog. You can't fight that.
Right, this gonna be this is going to be I don't know which word I'm looking for. First and foremost, let me say big prayers to Bobby Knight and his family. One of the best.
Rest in peace.
To ever do it in basketball, and not just in, you know, just in basketball. Period.
And RIP Walter Davis, Suns Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Right. My coach of the year, man, believe it or not, is going to be the GOAT. It's the year to come back. Greg Popovich. Pop?
Dog, that's a good choice, dog.
Pop is going to win coach of the year this year, man.
That's a good choice. Like, I'm kind of mad I didn't think about that because they might win 50 games if they stay like this. I don't know they have the depth, but, like, if with Keldon Johnson's always been nice. Wimby, Sochan, like, they got some pieces. So, yeah. Are you bold it's enough going, to say they're going
to
win?
They're going to have to stay. They're going to have to stay healthy. That's going to be tough. You got a bunch of young legs out there. But I think, you know, he's going to have them in a good position.
So are you bold enough to pick them to win the chip? Because we got to pick our champion of the season.
They're not going to win the chip. Real quick, another shout out to Mike Malone.
Yep.
And his family.
Yep. You mean his sons, a.k.a. the Lakers?
Well, you know, shout out to the Lakers, but you know, Mike Malone, father passed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Shout out to Mr. Malone. Good point.
A week before the season started.
Shout out to Coach Malone, yeah.
My NBA champion this year will be... Oh, man. I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to go with Golden State.
Golden State. You think they get the one more? You think they get one more and he beats LeBron? Okay. Who they beating?
Hey man, you know this is real hard. I'm gonna recant that statement.
Uh-oh.
I think the Boston Celtics beat Golden State.
We have our first recant of the night. Boston
beats Golden State.
Over. Yeah. I'm writing this down, by the way. So, I have the same champion. I have Boston. But I think, and yes, I'm a homer, but I legitimately think the Suns have a very underrated bench. Drew Eubanks was a big get. Grayson, I was gonna say Grayson Waller. Sorry, wrestling fans. Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen, Yuta Watanabe, like Eric Gordon is huge. We have some sneaky good pieces.
You still haven't said the GOAT of the bench over there, man. I'm trying to give you a chance to say the GOAT.
Oh,
the
bold. He's not gonna play.
Thank you.
He's not gonna play.
Most of the players won't play. Yes, he's going to play. He's going to get quality time. He's going to have to get quality time, or they'll never be. They won't beat San Antonio if they don't play Bobo.
Well, we haven't beat San Antonio yet in two games. So, I mean, what can you do?
And I respect them being your champion. I got to give Bradley Beal to play at least, you know, four games.
I'm not worried about it. If we're still injured and not playing after Christmas, let's talk. But like right now, they don't want to play in this dumbass tournament, so I'm not worried about it. But I got Boston over Phoenix. And I think we got a trilogy on our hands, dog. I think we got Boston and Phoenix the next couple of years.
Okay.
I really do. Okay. I think we might see that. Okay. So MVP of the year, both of us say Jason Tatum. Rookie of the year, both of us say Wimby. Coach of the year, I say Boston's coach Joe Mazzulla. And Trey says Pop. Coach Pop, the GOAT is back. For the championship, both of us have the Celtics winning. Trey has them beating the Golden State Warriors. I have them beating my Phoenix Suns. So, first show, first time. I haven't even said the name of the show. Have I said the name of the show I'll show yet? No. Yeah, we call this the pump fake. So we'll see how that works for a couple of episodes, and maybe it'll stay with you. But I want to end the show today. By the way, thank you for doing this, my brother. I hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope you had a blast. I want to, yeah, man. We've been needing to do the, our phone calls, y'all, are literally this podcast. Literally, this is our phone calls. So I figured let's just fucking put it on wax. By the way, I don't know if you have any more socials you want to shout out. Do you want to shout out your socials or anything, or you just want to say fuck it, don't follow me?
No, I'm going to bypass any socials at the moment because I'm going to have new socials. I don't want, you know, I want to have the connection with the connection. I don't want nothing personal connected with
it. I feel you. So. Well, you could holler at your boy on Kick at. I don't shout out Elon's site anymore, so I say something old. So holler at me on Kick at It's Ray Cash. That's R-A-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. But we are going to end the show today with the goated game show in sports history. Who he play for? I'm going to have Trey pick. Duke, who he play the game, who he play for. Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
All right, we're going in normal mode. I'm going to say the name out loud. You got to tell me the team he play for. Here we go. Normal mode. Victor Oladipo, who he play for?
Victor Oladipo is currently a Houston Rocket.
All right, he plays for the Miami Heat. Terrence Mann, who he played for?
Victor Oladipo got traded.
It says it's updated as of today. So,
Victor Oladipo was traded with the KJ Porter trade. Man, he's supposed to be a Houston Rocket right now.
Okay.
Terrence Mann is a Clipper.
Terrence Mann is a Clipper. That's correct. Terrence Mann is a Clipper. Joe Weiskamp. I don't think you know who that is. Because I don't know who that is.
I think Joe plays for... I'm going to say the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, damn. It didn't give... Shit, the time ran out on us. Let's do this again. Hold on. Because that shit... I like that shit. That's fun. Unlimited time. There we go. 10 teams. For the record, Joe Weiskamp. Let's see who he plays for. I was going to guess he plays for any random white dude, either plays for the Jazz or for the Pacers. So
I was going to say Utah or Indiana, but I ended up going with who's
he plays for the Mavericks. Ha! Ah! Okay, one more time, y'all. 10 rounds. Who he play for? Here we go. Wendell Moore Jr.
Wendell Moore Jr. plays for the Pelicans.
He says Pelicans. He plays for the Timberwolves. J.D. Davison.
The Thunder?
You say the Thunder. He plays for the Celtics. Willie Cauley-Stein. Shout out to Kentucky.
I don't even know if Willie was still in the league.
Me neither.
Willie probably plays right now for Indiana.
He says Indiana Pacers. It's the Houston Rockets. Christian Coloco. Now you see why it's so hard for Chuck, huh?
New York Knicks.
Washington. He says Washington, the New York Knicks. It's the Toronto Raptors. Vlatko Kankar.
And this one I should know. I ain't gonna lie to you, I don't. 10 car. Hancock plays for
Miami.
He says the Miami Heat. He plays for the Denver Nuggets. Isaiah Roby.
I think I heard his name before. Players.
That's not a good sign.
If you hear your name called in this segment, players, it's probably best you step your game up. You know, let's aim for 75 on the 2K rating. So we'll know who you play for.
Oh, man, because we don't know Isaiah Roby.
Isaiah Roby plays for Memphis.
He says Memphis Grizzlies. Isaiah Roby plays for the New York Knicks. Micah Potter.
Wizards.
He says the Washington Wizards. He plays for the Utah Jazz. Told you. White guy. Utah Jazz. James Bouknight.
Charlotte.
He says the Charlotte Hornets. He plays for the Charlotte Hornets. Wait a minute. We got one right. Coach Boeheim's son, Buddy. I don't know if that's Coach Boeheim's son. I don't know. It is
Coach Boeheim's son.
Okay.
I don't know if he made it to the league. The last time I saw Buddy playing, he was playing pick up ball. He probably played for Cleveland, something like that. He might play for Atlanta.
Okay, Cleveland or Atlanta, sir.
Let's go with Cleveland.
He says Cleveland. He plays for the Detroit Pistons. And who did he shut down in the playoffs 1 year? But the star of the NBA playoffs a year ago, Jose Alvarado
played for New Orleans.
The New Orleans Pelicans. We got two answers right, everybody. 2 out of 10.
Not bad.
And not you bad. Know what? Yeah, that's actually really good. You should be proud of yourself.
Especially with these names. But yes. I do believe for a fact that Victor Oladipo was traded. I'm able to trade and go through, but I'm pretty sure. First of all, Oladipo is hurt. So he can't play. But I'm pretty sure.
Victor Oladipo plays for the Houston Rockets. Yes, sir, you are correct.
Yeah.
So we give you 3. How about that?
I'll take it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed the Who You Play For, because I need you to understand that shit was hilarious for me. Hopefully we'll see you back here next week. And you know, holla at your boys. We'll come up with a nice cute little sign off eventually, but this is the first one, so we'll figure out how it goes. But thank y'all for listening. And enjoy.
I actually gotta sign off.
Oh, hit me with it.
One time. Ladies, keep your head up. Fellas, don't get fed up. If you fall, stand tall. You come back and fight another round. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. This is Uncle Good signing off.
I want y'all to know that was whack as shit, but we still gonna go. Bye.
What's up, puppy?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.